Okay, so last week we started to discuss the advantages and the benefits of someone having bitachon. We went through some of the things. We went through the point that a person is always putting his trust into something, meaning we don't realize it sometimes, but if we're not putting our trust in a particular instance into God, then there is something else that we are relying on to get us through. And now he's going to start to talk about some of these different things. So last week we were just showing how this automatic thing that when you are not relying on Hashem, you're relying on something else. And this week we're going to talk about some of these other things. So in the book, we're on page 7. And on the photocopies, we're on page 3. The second paragraph down. Ve'im yivtach al chachmosai ve'tach b'loisav ve'kayach gufay ve'hishtadlusai. If a person relies on his wisdom, his schemes, his physical strength, and his own efforts, yiga lorik, those efforts will be for naught. Ve'yechlash koychai, he will become weak. Ve'siksatach b'loisai, and he will lose his physical strength. And his schemes and wisdom will fall short of accomplishing his goals. He traps clever people in their shrewdness. I'm just going to read out the footnote here. That hopefully, like I say, next week when we'll have books for everyone, it'll be easier. I'm just going to read out the footnote. If he relies on his wisdom, his physical strength, and his own efforts. So he says here, although we must not rely on our wisdom and efforts to achieve our goals or earn a living, we can and should utilize our strengths and abilities, because they are the vehicle that God gave to achieve our success.
Because it means we can use them.
Huh?
Use them.
That's yeah. Meaning that we do have to use them, but we should not be relying on them as being the cause for why we're doing well. So if Hashem gave us a good brain, we should use the good brain. But we shouldn't rely on the fact that the reason why I've managed to come up with this in this business plan is because I have a good brain, and therefore all the money that I have has come from my good brain. Because my good brain, or the next person's money, or the next person's ability to build houses, yeah.
Sorry, am I bothering you?
Yeah. No, it's okay for me.
It's okay. A little bit.
The future Cohen Gadol doesn't like it, but.
Rabbi Aiken is better. You're the rabbi in the end.
So we are meant to use our strengths and abilities, because that's why Hashem gave them to us. But we should not be relying on them as that it is our actual strengths and abilities that the success is coming from. But the success is coming from God, and God was the one that gave us those strengths and abilities so that we could use them as the keli to accept the bracha. We must simply be aware that blessings and success ultimately come from God, and that it is God who ordains blessing through the channel of human effort.
So a question on this then, should we be focusing on what our strengths and abilities are?
Yes, very much so. There's an entire perek, it's the largest perek of Shabbat Tachon, which is coming up soon, hopefully soon, where it literally goes through, it explains that work is meant to be part of our service to Hashem, meaning that Hashem has, we have 24 hours in our day, each one with 60 minutes. And as we know, the psychologists talk about it. I was having a discussion this morning with Rabbi Nussbaum here, that the ultimate way of showing love is by giving time. So with Hashem, people often, so to speak, don't have the time. They say, I need to first sort out this, that, and the other, and then eventually, once I've got this, and I've got all the different things I want, and I've got like good, easy children, and my children have left the house and everything, then I'm going to have time. But like ultimately, as we know, Hashem wants to spend as much time with us as possible. That's why he gave us the Torah. That's why he gave us Eretz Yisrael, because he wants us to be as close to him as possible. So everything that we're going to do, and by the end of Shabbat Tachon, he really breaks down. He breaks down every sort of circumstance that you could possibly think of, whether you have too much money or too little money, whether you have, whether you're really smart, whether you're really stupid, whether you have the ability to see or whether you're blind. Like, all of the different things that a person comes into this world with, that is the package that person needs to use in order to get close to Hashem. Now, often people will spend time, let's say, in jobs that they don't enjoy, and they're doing it. So if you would ask any person why they're doing a job that they don't enjoy, the answer is because there's a very good paycheck. Because that's the only reason why someone would do a job that they don't enjoy. But if you're doing it, if you're in the job that you don't enjoy for the paycheck, it means that that you look at the paycheck as coming from this boss and not from God, because God gave every single person in this world different things that he enjoys. If everyone would enjoy the same thing, if everyone would enjoy the same, I don't know, football team, then there'd be no more football to watch because there'd only be one team. If everyone would enjoy being, I don't know, serving in shops, then there'd be no one to empty the garbage from the street. So,
but I don't think someone enjoys emptying the garbage. I don't think anyone enjoys emptying the garbage.
Yes, they do. The people that are doing it have a lot of them have like a lot of pride. They have a lot of pride. And like, I mean, especially here in Eretz Yisrael, anyone working for the garbage, whether they're Jewish or Muslim, they are helping to clean the Holy Land. There's guys that go out to, you know, to war to get rid of our enemies, but also having plastic garbage on the floor.
Yeah.
A lot of them are very happy people. That's why, like a lot of them stay there many years. I mean, in England, most of them come out of jail, and that's one of the only jobs that they can get.
You're saying in Israel.
But yeah, look, as in, I don't know, even like to be cleaners. I mean, the fact that there's, you know, that there's like hundreds of people who they're happy to take money to go and, I don't know, clean someone else's toilet, and there's other people that want to spend all the time doing everything. Everyone has the different tools and the different things that they want to do. When we actually come into this world, we're meant to use all the tools that we were given to like help us get through life. Now, if Hashem has given us, you know, imagine someone buys you a really, really nice set of knives, and you decide that from now on, you only ever want to use a fork, and you're gonna use your hands to snap all your food in half. So when this guy comes to visit, this guy can say, "Hey, I gave you like, such a beautiful set." I much prefer to stand there trying to snap all the cucumbers with my hand rather than using a knife. So when Hashem gives us tools, if we're not using them, Hashem is not happy with that. Like, Hashem specially picked out the right brain, the right family, the right street, the right school. He's picked literally everything out for us, and he wants us to use it to the best of our abilities. And as Rabbi Nachman says, that one of the main things that we have to always do is if there's Hashem b'simcha, that we have to serve Hashem with happiness. If we have to serve Him with happiness, then the tools that we have is meant to be what's meant to help us serve Him. So when we are looking for jobs, and He speaks later on, He goes into the different stages. Firstly, if you're not in a job yet, what sort of occupation should you look for? Then if you are already in an occupation but you're not enjoying it, should you try changing it? Should you try... And the bottom point is that everyone should only be doing what they're happy and comfortable with. And if you think that you have to do more in order to achieve, in order for the results to be greater, so in a certain extent it's true, but also like we've said that bitachon and hishtadlut fill the same cup. So if you've got loads of bitachon, so a person knows that they have to fill this cup up, but you can pour in either more bitachon or more hishtadlut. And you see by the very special people of the generation that they do very, 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 very minimal effort, and their results are much, much greater. And you see people who are working literally round the clock, and the results of what they're bringing in are not as great. So the main point that he's bringing here is that everyone should use their own skills that they have, and you should find a job that suits your skills and that matches your skills and that you look forward to going to, not because work is meant to be an exciting thing, but because work in and of itself is a mitzvah that's given to us, and it's part of what Hashem wants from us. Just to take this into the idea of the mon, just because it's the last night of the Omer, and the mon started during the Omer, and like part of the idea of the mon is connecting the physical and the spiritual world. The mon was the spiritual food given to them, which...
What's
the connection with the Omer? The mon, they started giving it in the Omer. Like, the first day that the mon fell was in the Omer, and the whole idea of the Omer is we go from Pesach, we first take the Korban Omer, which is the first bit of barley that grew in the fields that year, and no one's allowed to touch any of the new crop until this barley has been taken, and then we count 49 days, and then we take the Shtei Alechem, then we take two breads. Now, the process of the entire process of the Omer is going from Pesach to Shavuos. Pesach, we're bringing the raw barley. Shavuos, we're bringing like a ready-to-eat piece of bread. And it's like a 49-day process. The mon is like the first proper thing of bitachon that we were given. And the mon, when you read the parasha of the mon, when you read the story of the mon, every detail in there, as we're going to see in a very general level in the Shabbat Dachan, every single detail in there is the source of where we know how we're meant to relate to work, how we're meant to relate to everything in life using Bitachon. Hashem said
in the Mon Parsha.
So Hashem, firstly, Hashem said to everyone that there's going to be that there's going to be omer like a grain. So every person is going to have a set measurement, and no matter how much a person takes, a person can overwork and bring home loads of extra mon, and he came home and it went down to a little amount of mon. Or you can go with only a little amount of mon, and if you were meant to have more, then it would grow. Now people say, well, this is not really so relevant nowadays because I can take home loads of money and I have loads of money. But if you look back, and I've asked a lot of people this question, and a lot of people said, I have actually noticed that very, very, very often we are in a situation where we have to pay money out of pocket for something. A car crashed, whatever, a holiday, you missed the ticket. And we always think to ourselves, wow, I literally just got this money in yesterday. Or like, this and this happened, just yesterday, and it was really good because I just took on one extra job. And it was good that I had the money because that money helped to cover this. Now that's obviously a way of looking at it. And the world is made that you can look at everything from two ways. There's the real way and the unreal way. A different way of looking at such a situation is that the money that came in yesterday was money that was earned above your Omer Lagol Goyles, and the way that Hashem takes it back down to an Omer is Hashem will make someone hit your car so that you have to go get a new mirror for it, and that 300 shekel that you worked extra for has now gone back down. So as we're going to see also, that when you're not that a person very often puts in too much effort. So why would someone put in too much effort? You would only put in too much effort if you think that more effort is going to generate more of the result of what you're doing. But as we're going to see, work and income is two separate things. Work is something that we have to do in this world because Hashem sent us down here, and work in and of itself is meant to be a mission. We need to make sure to be honest. We need to make sure to make a kiddush Hashem at all times. And we've got Baba Kama, Baba Metzia, Baba Basra, which are all just talking about, you know, dinim omnis in business. You know, this guy, two guys buy a talis together, and this one pulls it. And in work, we need to be super, super honest because that is a place where we spend most of our time. And the reason why, it's not just that we can spend the time so that we can have the money so that then we can go live the life that we want to live. It's that the actual work in and of itself is an opportunity for us to use our skills to interact with the world and to inspire people around us and to do things right. But the work in and of itself is not what is bringing the money. We have to do the work to show that we've done our piece. But where the money comes from, I showed this picture last week of a guy who is fishing, and the guy has got his fishing rod, and he's busy trying to get out a fish. Now, if this guy would carry on looking straight at his fishing rod and getting angry with it about the fact that there's no fish on it, he's like, you know, why is there no fish? Like, I've done my shtadlus, I've done my thing, and I bought the best bait, and I bought the best thing, and I know, and I can see the fish. Why is there no fish? This guy can sit here like all night watching, but ultimately, with Bitochen, this guy would know to look into his basket and realize that this is what I need to do. Whether the fish come from there, whether the fish jump in, or whether the money comes from elsewhere is no longer relevant, because as long as I've done my piece for Hashem, Hashem will sort the rest out for me. So that was that piece.
Do you think, there's ways of looking at the yeshiva world, like ishtadlut is just to like kind of like put a mask on so that you won't see like God's nisim gluim, it'll be more like a nesni style because like I did ishtadlut and it's coming through my ishtadlus, or that like there, I think there's another thing to it, that like in the ishtadlus itself there's some type of mitzvah, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, so
like, then, or just blocking the fact that like I don't want I'm tricking myself to like not see the nes galui. So I'm doing as if there's no miracle, but really there is a miracle. Or there's like extra, something good in the actual work. Like there's some like a mitzvah.
Yeah,
So, if God's giving you anyway.
This guy fishing is making, he has to do that.
What we're saying.
That guy fishing has to do that.
Why?
Because he wants to catch fish. But if he believes that the fish comes from this, then he would never even know that it has jumped in, because he would never even know. You have to realize that I'm doing my bit. I have 5 minutes now. What can I do in these 5 minutes? Now, if you've got 1 hour of work that you have to do in 5 minutes, you can't do it in 5 minutes. But what you can do is you can just start and do the 5 minutes. When the 5 minutes up and you don't have 5 minutes to do the mincha, you've done the maximum amount of hishtadlut for that situation, and you can sit back knowing that the result can still jump. If you're waiting for the result to come out of the hishtadlut, then it could be like a frustrating thing, because you could be sitting there fishing for hours and nothing's happening. You're not meant to wait. We're meant to do the hishtadlut because we're meant to do it, and we don't look at the results of the actual hishtadlut. We do our hishtadlut and the results arrive by us.
How
So that's...
What did you say? What's the question?
So that is...
Like, you mean like what field?
To be fair, what field is
it?
You burn down as many shots as you
will,
but you're just in the wrong direction.
Right.
You don't know, you're 20 miles away, but 10 hours a day, you're just running away.
Yeah. Are you a relaxed person? As in, is that person that you're talking about, is he a relaxed person that's calm and at ease, or is he a person that's constantly worked up? Because the truth is really, and this only comes right at the end of Shabbat HaKhanan, I haven't had the property in, inside. The truth is that really, in a certain sense, anything can be the correct Hishtadlut and anything can be the wrong Hishtadlut. Depends on how the person is using it. Meaning that, so I'm just trying to think of an example.
If it does good for you, if it makes you feel good, if it makes you happy, if it makes you a better person, you know it's right. So if you become angry at everyone around you, okay, it's obviously not the thing you gotta do.
Maybe also to test that you have to work on it.
What, not being angry?
Yeah, as in if it's working you up. If I come to you and say to you that I can make you some form of guarantee that if you pour water, I don't know, if you fill up a cup of water and you say this and this pasuk, as soon as you get home there'll be a frog waiting for you on your counter. Yeah? Now, and if I say I've heard it from all these rabbis and I've tested it, this and that, and you then go and do it. So you then go and you fill up a cup and you do all the pasukim and you believe fully that this can create that result of the frog appearing. If you believe in it fully, then it means that there's something that you want, which is for a frog to appear there, and you've done the maximum amount of hishtadlus that you believe was possible, and the answer is that technically that will actually happen. Because when you've done the maximum amount of hishtadlus that you can in any area. Now there's people that go to work and when their hishtadlus that they're doing is dependent on how much money, because they look at it as they're getting money from this, therefore I need to do more hours to bring in more money. And then they do more hours, and then they bring in more, and then they do another sale, and they bring in more, and they're just doing and doing and doing and doing and doing. And if you look at the people that do this, most of them don't stop for 40, 50 years. They have enough money for their great, 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 great grandchildren to all have, you know, mansions and 30 different houses, and they still carry on working. Now, was there no point when they stopped and said, okay, no, I'm like doing too much hishtadlut here? So usually not. Or it's someone that is using, that they realize that they're using their money to give out to Stocker, and therefore on behalf of Stocker you should do more hishtadlut because that's like a different form of hishtadlut. In the answer to the actual question, which is how does the person know? So he is going to break it down, and it's not something that you can answer just like that, because he goes through all the different things. It depends if you're going into business based on money, if you're going with brains, if you're going because, as in, there's like an advantage to being the boss of a company, because a boss of a company is kind of, you know, kind of like on his own, but also a boss of a company has to rely much more in a certain sense on Hashem, because the only way that a paycheck's coming in is if 15 people get back to you on the deals, whilst with an employee, then the employee is going to get it. The checkbox that a person needs to look at to see whether his hishtadlut is right is to see if there's a way. Firstly, that through his work that he can grow as a person spiritually, meaning to connect to Hashem more. Now, like I had a job that I was at for many years where I couldn't go to chakras in the mornings. And the truth is, I absolutely loved it. Like, I always looked at it as, like, you know, my job, like, it's my shtadlus, and I was working in the, you know, in the kosher food industry, and, like, this is the only way people can eat. And the truth is that I, you know, that for many years I was telling myself that I was really enjoying it. And then once I started actually going to chakras, I've realized that for like a very long time, you know, like ultimately I was the one missing out. And with hishtadlut, even actual davening, staying in davening is a hishtadlut that we need to do in order to get our results that we need. So yes, we go to work, but going to work is also not the only form of work or effort that someone needs to put in something. There's about building the relationship with Hashem through learning, through davening, through chesed. These are all these are all very, very important things. And hishtadlut changes, therefore, for every single person based on the amount of tefillah and the amount of learning that someone does, the hishtadlut changes. And any system that you...
Any amount of bitachon they have.
And as in, they all, your bitachon will influence both your learning and your davening will influence your learning and your bitachon, as in, they are all, yeah. But just another very interesting example, which you see a lot in the Jewish world, which really gives a bit of an idea into Hishtadlut in general, is when it comes to the dating scene. So you can go all the way from a chassid who, you know, the parents set them up and they sit down in the dining room for 20 minutes and they don't even look at each other. They just, you know, say, oh, whatever, Maltov, what's your name? Whatever, Maltov. And 20 minutes later, they didn't get engaged. Didn't have someone like me, who's not quite Hasidish, but only a bit past. I dated for 1 week and I got engaged on the sixth day after meeting my wife. Then she was... a foreigner. And then I had friends that did for... Yeah, I'm saying. There's only so much you can pick up in 1 week. And then you have people that date for 3 weeks. And then you have people that date for 6 months. You have people that date 5 years, 10 years, 15 years. What's the difference? What's the difference between all of them? Everyone goes into dating to try finding the same thing. Everyone wants to, you know, find company, find someone to marry. There's different reasons why people might want to go into it at different stages. But ultimately, everyone wants to get married. So what's the difference between this guy sitting for 20 minutes and this guy, you know, having to go to like the top restaurants for 6 months and then still not knowing if things are going to move forward? And the answer is the level of bitachon and the level of hishtadlut. This chassid Yoli, his father said to him that day, he's like, listen Yoli, when I was your age, your mother came in through the door and we sat down 15 minutes and look at us, you know, 30 years later, we're super happy. So his son hears this, and his son thinks to himself, okay, so my hishtadlut that I need to do in order to get married, I just need to have a 20-minute conversation. And he has put his whole hishtadlut, so everything that someone else can spend 6 months dating to try and get to the result, he's able to do it in 6 months. Now, of course, everyone, like, to me, I look at a chassid and think, whoa, like, how do you do it in 6 months? But then I'm sure a lot of you here are looking at me thinking, how did I do it in 1 week? And there'll be people that did it in 6 years that will say, how do you do it in 1 month? Because everyone has different things. But, and I'm not here to say which way you should go, whether you want to date for longer or something. But the idea is, and I think this is also really how, in general, how different scholars work. Like, we know the dojo scholars. Like, if you say nishmas for 40 days, then this and this thing happens. Now, if you're in a situation where you really want, like, a result of suddenly someone's very ill and you really feel bad to them, or your kids have not got into school or they need a shidduch, and you decide to do nishmas, let's say 40 days, or...
What's nishmas?
Nishmas is the tefillah that we say on Shabbos morning. Oh, nishmat kol chai. Which is just like the ultimate praise, where we basically say to Hashem that even if we had all the capabilities that He created in this world, so like the sea was, you know, was like our mouth like, and we had like wings like eagles and everything, we would never be able to thank Him even one iota of the chassadim that He does to us. So there's an Indian to say this for 40 days, and I myself have done it many times, and you know, and things really do happen, things really do change. And I've heard, there's hundreds of stories, you hear stories of people that went to this and this Rebbe's Kiva, and they dive into this. There's all these stories. Now, there's a certain element in all these stories, which is also going about Hishtadlut, that, you know, if someone works really hard to get into a rabbi, to get a bracha, because his kid is ill, and if he believes that all his effort to get into the rabbi, is because he needs a bracha so that this person should get better, then all that he's doing, that is his hishtadlut to get better. And he doesn't also have to put in loads of hishtadlut into finding all of the best doctors. Such a person won't need to do both, because if you're going to get the rabbi letter, then the people that used to go to the Lubavitch Rebbe. So the Lubavitch Rebbe used to always give everyone a dollar. Why? Because whatever advice he was giving them, he wanted them to go and do a level of hishtadlut. He's like, you can't just take on the advice. He goes, go just do one level of one little level of hishtadlut. Go put this $1 in, then you've done something for Hashem. Just take on that you're going to do this and this thing. And thousands of people had the most unbelievable stories. Why? Because the Rebbe was telling them, now your hishtadlut is just to take on this. If you go take on, I don't know, you know, sending in Shabbos or sending in this or sending in that, then this is going to help you. How is that helping? So as we're going to see further, and like these ideas really keep coming up over and over and over again, the way of doing it all is by you, in a certain sense, get to decide for yourself what your hishtadlut is. Now, when you're holding back from doing more hishtadlut, that's where bitachon comes, that you have to trust that you're leaping over a certain line. If a person's job, where he's, you know, which is the primary form of hishtadlut, is something that's getting in the way of relationships, or getting in the way of Torah, or getting in the way of other things, then usually it's either it's the wrong form of hishtadlut that person is doing, or the person just needs to find a better balance, because then their whole tachlis, their whole point of being in this world, maybe is just to help them find the balance using those tools and that job.